But we need to hear specifically a few verses out of the Word, the Scripture, pretty much the world, where we are, how we stand. There's a lot of churches, there's a lot of communities. You know, I'm not going to spend a lot of time, and I don't want you spending a lot of time on the TV. I mean, get what you need to hear, but you don't need to hear a lot of stuff. Because this world's going to try to pump you full of doubt and unbelief, and they're going to always want to show you the bad, but there's a lot of good out there.
Amen.
There's a lot of good out there.
Yes.
Title of this message, this world needs Jesus.
Amen.
This world needs Jesus. The Lord wanted me to share just a few scriptures, and when I say few, that's eight. Somebody, what's the definition of few? A few chapters? A few scriptures? Just a few scriptures out of the book of Ecclesiastes about the life of Solomon. But no matter what is happening in our country right now or around the world, hope can be found in the precious Word of God.
Amen.
Hope can be found in the Bible.
Yes.
And Darius could probably stand up and sing a song right now, the B-I-B-L-E. That's the book for us, ain't it there? Ain't there? The Bible. God's Word. God's Word. Ecclesiastes 1, verses 1 through 8. I'm going to read them quickly and then I'm going to touch on a few things. This is written by Solomon, David's son. It says, the words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem, vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What profit have a man? It says, what profit have a man of all his labor which he taketh under the sun? One generation passeth away, and another generation cometh, but the earth abideth forever. The sun rises and the sun goes down, and hasteth to his place where he arose. The wind goes toward the south, turns to the north. It whirls around continually, and the wind returns again to its circuits. The rivers into the sea, they run, yet the sea is not full. Unto the place from whence the rivers come, they return again. Verse 8, all things are full of labor. Man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. Solomon is the writer of Ecclesiastes. This verse makes it clear that he is the writer and he is the son of David and also king. He was the only son to become king. It also clearly states that he was the king in Jerusalem. Because he said, Ecclesiastes 1:12, I, the preacher, was king over Israel in Jerusalem. The only son of David to become king was Solomon. Verse 2, vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. These are the words of a man. Man. These are the words of a man who was the wealthiest man on earth. 1 Kings 10:23, so King Solomon exceeded all the kings of the earth in riches and in wisdom. That's what the word says. I didn't see Solomon, but I believe it. We've got history that points to it. He had given himself over to unbridled pleasures and wantonness, yet all these pleasures had left him empty. Solomon had turned away from the Lord and served other gods. 1 Kings 11. Now this just didn't happen overnight. This is called a time and a process. Seed time and harvest. What was he sowing? Well, let's look at what he was reaping. King Solomon loved many strange women. 1 Kings 11. Together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, the Hittites, of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, you shall not go unto them. What can you not get out of that? Don't do that. You shall not. Neither shall they come unto you. For surely they will turn away your heart from after their gods. Solomon clave unto these in love. Not only did he not run from them, he ran to them. These women, these other gods. These are the warnings of a man who had known the wonders of God and the depths of sin. He now warns anything and everything the world can offer is like vanity in comparison to the blessings of God. That's what he's saying. Vanity, vanity. All these is vanity compared to the fellowship I have with God, the blessing of the Lord. The blessing of God comes as a result of establishing a relationship through his Son, Jesus Christ. That's the only way the blessings will come. The blessings of the Lord. Now, you can be blessed by a man, but it ain't going to last. They said the blessing of the Lord comes only through the knowledge and relationship of the Lord Jesus Christ. So this is basically the same message David gave in Psalms 39, 5, and 6, which says, "Behold, thou hast made my days as a handbreadth, and my age is as nothing before thee, as father as son." See, David passed on some things. Not everything was good. But Solomon had a choice. Psalm 62:9 says, "Surely men of low degree are vanity, and men of high degree are a lie. To be laid in the balance, they are altogether lighter than vanity." Not a lot of hope in these couple verses, are they? Vanity, vanity. Psalms 144:4 says, "Man is like to vanity. His days are as a shadow that passeth away." Verse 3, "What profit hath a man of all his labor which he taketh under the sun?" What profit hath a man? Let's contrast this with Proverbs 14:23, which says, "In all labor there is profit, but the talk of the lips tend only to lack." Labor is profitable and even commanded in the New Testament to work. Labor means to work. The Apostle Paul said in 2 Thessalonians 3:10, "For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work," help me, "he should not eat." Labor is good. Just to give somebody something without expecting them to go do something is wrong. You're sowing vanity. You're sowing vanity. You've got to sow principles. Solomon was speaking here from a perspective of a broken man who had ruined his life, and not only his life, but the lives of the nation because of his rebellion toward God. And what is rebellion toward God? If you serve other gods, it's rebellion toward God. The Lord prophesied that he would strip 10 tribes of Israel away from the house of David. 1 Kings 11:9 through 13. Solomon had riches. Solomon had honor and pleasures above any person on this earth. Yet it was all vanity. It meant nothing once he had lost the blessing of the Lord. And remember, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. And God says, he has no sorrow with it. But if you serve man, there's coming sorrow, because man's not going to treat you like God will treat you. Solomon was repentant when he saw the mess. And it's good to confess. If you made a mess, just say, "I made a mess, Lord." Nothing wrong with that. It's called repentance. "Lord, I didn't do things right. I repent." He was repentant when he saw the mess he had made of things, and was warning of the vanity of finding pleasures in anything but the Lord. Verse 4, "One generation pass away and another comes, but the earth abides forever." Now I'm going to speed up a little bit here. Dirt is more enduring than man if we factor out the spirit part of us that was made in the likeness of God. If we look at things from only a natural, humanistic viewpoint, what's the use? Why are we here? Everything we're doing is vain, is vanity. If we're looking to the natural, humanistic point, we're all going to die. It's useless to improve our lives or improve the lives of anyone else if that's all we're looking for, if that's all we're living for. But this ain't the right perspective, because we aren't only physical human beings. That's what we're learning on Wednesday night. We're a spirit being. Yes. We have a soul and we live in a body. We aren't just like animals, although some people act like animals because they deny the Spirit of God that created them. We aren't just like animals that live and die and are gone and then are reincarnated and come back as a... You fill in the blank. There's people that believe that. Yeah. Religions that teach that. They are denying God. Amen. The spirit and soul part of us live on, and one day we'll be reunited with our resurrected bodies, and we will continue to live forever. Me and Rowan just talked about that the other day. He's like, man, what are we going to do forever? I said, I don't know. We'll talk about it when we get there. I said, that's a long time forever. Therefore, our actions here have eternal value. What we do here, when we praise God for 18 years, it has eternal value here, and then forevermore, we're going to sing in the choirs of heaven. And they're going to talk about Terry and Colette and Vicky. They're going to sing some of the songs you sang. I might even be able to, and me and Lewis might be able to carry a tune with you. Or at worst, we could tap our foot. Amen? Eternal values, Terry, Colette, eternal. Your praise helped your husband receive healing from shingles. Because you praised God. You didn't praise like the world. You didn't praise man. We thank God for the doctors, but we don't praise them. We praise God. And thank God for the doctors. But we praise God for His healing, for His blood covenant that He shed that promises us eternal life and here in the soul and body healing. See, we don't need healing in the by and by because we ain't even going to deal with sickness and disease then. We need it now in the rough here and now. Amen? So we can praise God in a healthy body. Vanity, vanity. Man is all vanity. If you lean into your own understanding, it's vanity. Therefore, our actions, they have eternal value, what we do here. And what we do to bring others into right relationship with God, that will last forever. For one sinner, you help one person. Now, you can't... Yeah, they're going to still go and do things if they don't renew their mind. But what you do for that one person, do it with all you got. And trust God to work in their life. If you don't see them acting like you know the Word says they should, don't give up on them. Lord, I repent. Just keep believing. Amen. Keep praising God and keep living your life. A true believer, we got some t-shirts. I believe. I've seen some of my kids wearing them. I'm a believer. I believe. Believers believe. Believers have a different worldview than what Solomon was expressing here. We have a different worldview. He was speaking from the perspective of a man. A man that was rich. A man that had anything that he wanted. But a man who walked away from God. From the Lord. And he tried to find pleasure and fulfillment in everything but God. He had seen the errors of his ways, and he was speaking to show that outside of God, there is no purpose in living. Outside of God. But inside of God, every person has a purpose. Even outside of God, God has given them a purpose. But without God, it's dead. It's not alive. Verse 5, the sun rises and the sun goes down and hastens to a place where it arose. Solomon is describing the hopelessness of life without the Lord. People in depression. Oh, got another day. Another day to go through another day. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Like a broken record. The sun is constantly moving, but it never goes anywhere. It rises in the same place every day. Likewise, we may strive throughout our lives, but we all end up at the same place in the natural. In the natural. But we're not just in the natural, right? Verse 6, the wind goes toward the south and turns to the north about continually, and the wind returns again according to its circuits. Solomon is continuing to describe the usefulness of life in just the natural realm. When we factor in, this is the man we like, when we factor in the spirit of man and our relationships with the Lord, life takes on, somebody say, new. We talked about that. It's a new day, a new level. God gives us new things. Daily loads us down with benefits. Daily. Not weekly, daily. Amen? Not just Sunday. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Life takes on new meaning, but without the Lord, we are like the wind that blows toward the south, toward the north. We are constantly in motion and never going anywhere. Been there, done that. See people doing the same thing. Day in, day out. Go to work, come home, go to bed, get up, fight, fuss, argue. Don't go nowhere. Life is meaningless and useless without the dynamic of God in our life, or His dynamics. Remember, the Spirit gives life. The flesh profits nothing. Nothing. Verse 7, all the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full. Unto the place from which the rivers come, thither they return again. Look at the huge volume of water that pours into the seas and the oceans, and yet they are never full. Likewise, we can fill ourselves with all this world has to offer. But if we don't have God in the center stage in our lives, we will never be satisfied. I've been there. Was working on that plan. If I just get a better job, if I can just do better, if I can just be what the boss wants me to be, if I can be what my wife wants me to be, then things are going to work out. Vanity. Vanity. I got to seek the Lord with my whole heart. Lord, what have you called me to do? First, I got to know Him and His desires. And then He'll give me the desires of my heart. He'll actually put His desires into my heart. And then I'll get on the road that's called success. Verse 8, and we close. All things are full of labor. Man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. Like the seas and oceans that Solomon described in the previous verse, our eyes are not satisfied with what we see, and our ears are not satisfied with what we hear. Apart from the Lord, there is no way to satisfy our desires. This is because God created us to have Him at the center. God created everything before He created man. There was no need that Adam had on this earth other than need for God. I'm just now seeing that. God had everything, but all Adam needed was God. Because everything else was created for him. The only thing that could not be created was God. Adam can't create God. He is the creator. But the only way to truly know God is to worship Him and fellowship with Him. You can't fellowship with the things that you eat, but for a very short time. That pie is only going to be good until it's all gone or until it starts to look pretty bad. But the Bible says, taste and see that the Lord, He is good. Amen. And He never gets old. And He never gets stale. He never gets stale. Man. See, there was no temptation to sin because Adam had it all. And had not even yet experienced all that he had. He was just starting. And the devil didn't like what he was seeing. And he came up with a plan. But God knew what the devil was going to do. Him and Jesus and the Holy Ghost, all three knew what he was going to do before man was even created. Those rivers, in other words, we spend our lives trying to fill that vacuum with everything. But as useless as trying to fill all the oceans of the world by the rivers that empty into them, it can never happen. The only thing that can fill the emptiness inside us is God. God. There is a theme we talked about through this whole message today. It's the verses, man without God is vanity. Jesus said in Mark 8:36, and we heard it in Ecclesiastes, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his soul? We can answer that question. What is it? Nothing. Vanity. Solomon answered it and he said, don't go down this path, guys. Don't follow after the world and all that it has to offer. Enjoy what you have, but and don't enjoy it so much that you can't be willing to let loose of it and give it to somebody else. Because that's God's desire anyway, is that we all experience what God has created for us. This world needs Jesus. Bad. Yes. And the only Jesus they will ever see is the Jesus in you and the Jesus in me. Because he's in heaven, but he's working through his church. Yes. And we're his hands and we're his feet going somewhere. So I encourage you today. I'm encouraging you on today. Quit looking at all the media. I said this at the beginning. Look at what you need to, if you need to. But don't spend time sitting there watching all the thing that the world is going to be pumping into, trying to pump into your house. Because that is being put before our eyes and it's being put before our ears. But let us focus our attention on the Lord. And what he has said and what he is saying. Let us endeavor to go out and help others that are hurting by offering to help them as the Lord would direct us. See, that's what it's going to take. That's all it's going to take for our nation, for these things that we see out here in the world. Just let people know that we appreciate you. Because there's a lot of bad people out there, but there's a lot more good.
Yes.
Amen? Amen. The Bible says that a third of the angels rebelled.
Yeah.
If I do the math, what's a third? How many is left? Two-thirds. So we still winning, right?
Yes.
We still have the advantage.
Yes.
Good always triumphs over evil.
Yes.
Don't believe the movies, right? And don't believe those actors. There's a lot of them as Christians, but a lot of them, they don't like when they get to the end of their life, they wish they had never started at the beginning where they ended up at. If you're chasing that mighty dollar, you lose the race. It's going to cost you. It's going to cost you your soul, relationships, hardships, families. It's going to hurt. I ain't saying acting is not bad. It's good if you keep God in the center of everything. Amen? That's how we're going to make it. That's how we're going to make a difference in the world, is letting the world see Jesus in each one of us. And I think that's what the Lord wants us to know today, encourage us. He's our healer. He hasn't changed. He's our provider.
Yes.
He hasn't changed. He's our king.
Yes.
And he's going to reign again.
Yes.
But until he returns, he said, occupy.
Yes.
So can we say, occupy his throne? His throne has never been left. It's never been empty. But if the church doesn't do what we're called to do, then we're leaving it unoccupied. Because,
yes,
see, we are kings and we are priests,
yes,
unto God here in the earth.
Yes.
So I think it's time we take our thrones. Amen.
Amen.
That means our place, wherever you work, your community. And when evil abounds, the Bible says, where evil does abound, or sin does abound, same thing, grace does much more abound. Amen. So we got to get on the abounding. And I think we will. I think we are. In other words, we got to be the church. We got to be on the offense.
Yeah.
The world wants to tell you, no, you're the church. You're supposed to, if we smite you on one side, you're supposed to give us the other cheek. It depends on the situation. Our God, he didn't make us stupid. That's right. We got common sense. And we'll tell you we got common sense. That's if I'm preaching the gospel and somebody spits in my face. I keep preaching, I keep loving. But you come against my family, you come against my home, you come to my house to steal, you better be born again. Amen. I don't have a gun. We got angels. We got something we can throw at you. We got a dog too. We're supposed to hate evil. Never let the sun go down on our wrath. Never let that sun go down on evil. We're not supposed to be complacent when it comes to evil. Amen?